This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast
and we're,
Eddie.
We're fast on the uptake there.
Yeah, okay. So we bounced it a few times on landing. We'll get it right by the next week.
Keep
right.
practicing, guys.
Yeah.
And we are joined by...
Andy Davis here from Trig Avionics. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, sounds wonderful with a British accent.
I've been
practicing all night.
You got it down. I was going to say...
Do you give lessons?
Yeah.
No, that would give away the secret.
There you go.
Good
there
grief.
You go.
This is going to turn into Monty Python with electronics.
Oh,
you know
boy.
That?
Oh, boy. And now for something completely different.
Different, yep. We'll be serious for once. You guys are in the avionics business.
That's correct.
How are you guys doing today?
We're doing pretty well. We have a growing range of products. We've got our transponders, which have been out for a while, and they do the ADS-B thing, and that, of course, is pretty successful for us. We have GPS engines that we can marry up with those transponders, so you get an ADS-B out solution. We've had comm radios for a while, so we're filling up the panel. We've got audio panels, and this year we brought along our new NavCom, so we have a nav receiver as well.
Wow. This is all aimed
It's a plot
toward,
to take over the world of avionics.
It's an evil plot.
Yeah.
We have you by the GPS. Are you aiming this at the commercial market, or are you aiming this more toward the home builder / general
GA.
Aviation?
It's all GA. Our roots are very, very small and compact kind of products, lower powers, making it real simple. That's the kinds of things that we're doing. So, yeah, GA. Experimental, the light sport. We have something specifically designed for that kind of panel. But the new NavCom is more conventional. You'd expect to find it in a Cessna, Piper, the standard center stack.
Now, I guess with the miniaturization of electronics, you've been able to make them smaller. Power requirements have dropped?
They have. Modern avionics just don't get as hot as the old stuff used to get, so you can make them smaller. One of the constraints on making it smaller is the heat. If it makes too much heat, it's hard to build a rack full of equipment. But our designs are all very low power, and therefore no fans required, real simple, therefore, to install.
And can run on batteries for a while when the power fails.
It can, and actually can run on batteries altogether. Some of our products, we make a compact transponder and a compact radio, which are very low power consumption, and they're used by people in sailplanes, completely running on batteries. People on things like a Cub without an electrical system, you can still run it on a battery, and you can get hours and hours of flying out of one charge and a battery just for a comm and a transponder.
Wow. So now you can put together an entire suite of avionics from soup to nuts.
Pretty much, yep.
And put it in a Cub.
There you go. Yeah, ADS-B in a Cub.
ADS-B,
jeez.
IFR,
well, no.
Oxygen.
Come on, no. ADS-B in a Cub is real. You need
yeah,
to do
you
that.
Need
so
to
so for even some of the ultralights and the light sports and the Cubs and things like that, if you want to fly in the airspace, you need ADS-B. And one thing that Trig is really focused on is solutions to actually make that possible. There are lots of different choices of how you're going to do ADS-B out there. Many of them are aimed at the what you might call the larger platforms that, you know, conventional spam can airplanes. But if you have something, a single seat, two seat, light sports, a home built, something you made yourself, you may not have the space, you may not have the power, as you say, to drive that kind of stuff. Trig is one of the only solutions out there that can do it.
You know, I'm still trying to wrap my head around an ultralight with ADS-B. That, to me, seems kind of a contradiction, because the idea with the ultralight was to get away from all of that stuff. Simple flying.
Well, it is simple flying, and so, yeah, you'll not find an ultralight with a panel mount navigator and a flight management system, but most ultralights, if they're flying near or around controlled airspace, will have a radio.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a handheld kind of Velcroed to the panel, but you still need the whole headset and the antenna wiring because on an ultralight, it's pretty hard to pick up the handheld and just speak into it.
Yeah.
And so people are installing compact radios into ultralights so that they can speak to air traffic, speak to Unicom. And next stage up, yep, you fit a tiny transponder with a little GPS position source, and now you're ADS-B out equipped. And now you can fly in the Mode C Veil, you can fly in airspace, and people can and do that.
The guy with the lawn chair and the multi-balloons?
Yeah.
I guess he's got to have ADS-B too.
If he wants to go in that airspace, he does.
Well, he doesn't have a choice exactly where he goes. That's the problem.
Well, that and you mentioned that we even sell this kind of equipment to balloons.
Right.
So balloon guys flying along with radios and transponders, usually in a little carry-on box, so that they can stick it in the basket. But you're absolutely right. People do that.
Yeah, well, where we live, it's very congested airspace. We're in the northeast around Philadelphia.
Yep.
So there's always something flying around.
I don't know. I get the feeling that the airspace is getting too crowded when you have to have TCAS system on an ultralight.
Yeah, or on a balloon.
On a balloon.
Yeah. Well, you don't, but the other guy has the TCAS, and then he can avoid you.
Yeah.
Works both ways.
I hope. Yeah. So where are you guys on the field?
We're in Hangar C, right at the front. As you go in, it's hard to miss us. We have all of our products there, and some pretty interesting demos of different ways of installing them, different ways of setting them up. And so, yeah, if people come on down, we can show you how to get going.
Now that you said you're debuting a new NavCom radio,
we are.
And you know, we're used to the ones flip the dial, maybe swap frequencies. Anything new there? Anything interesting? Easier?
It still does all of that good stuff. I mean, it's a radio and it's a nav receiver, and so you tune and operate it the same way. Yeah. It has a built-in memory though, so you can look up frequencies. You can look up frequencies for the comm. You can look up frequencies for the nav, and of course that helps from searching your paper. One of the features of our radios is that database is pilot updatable, so it's in a standard format. You can edit it yourself, you can make your own database, so you don't need a subscription or anything like that to operate the database. Other features of the NavCom, it can actually listen to two nav frequencies at once, and so with only a single NavCom in the airplane, you can use it to find an intersection, get a position fix by actually tuning in two VRs at once.
I want to know if anybody's talking about integrating that. You know, everybody's got these moving maps on their iPads and sectionals and all that. I want to know if it's going to be in the future. Like, I'm flying along and I decide I want to go to this airport over here, and I go tap, tap, and it shows me the frequencies, and I say go, and it pops it right into the radio for me.
Well, you know, that already works with some of the products that are out there. You can actually wire into the back of our NavCom, and with the appropriate brand and type of GPS, and I mean there's a few to choose from, it can feed the local air traffic frequencies in for you. It can feed the local nav frequencies in for you, and you can in fact tap and do that. That's actually quite a common integration with some of the experimental EFIS systems, things like the Dynon system or the Garmin G3X, both of which can be connected to our NavCom, and you can push frequencies, you can tune it from the touch screen, or you can tune it on its own panel, and they just integrate together, and it just works.
And it just works, right?
It just works.
The sophistication behind these systems is crazy. Do you people sit around and just do engineering sessions where you're saying, you know, what features can we put in next?
Well, it's not loading up features, because actually features add complexity, and we try to make it not too complex for people. I mean, you're meant to be flying the airplane and having fun, and not just playing with a computer system.
With the video game, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a video game. Take a look out the window from time to time and get out there. But you're sitting there, you say, I have this data, for example, on my EFIS and my nav receiver, and I'm working all together. And yeah, I guess some of it starts with, wouldn't it be cool if?
Right.
So you sit there and you say, wouldn't it be cool if so-and-so would work? If I just reached, and if it feels natural, if it feels like the sort of thing you should do, then yeah, we look at whether you can implement that. We'll do that.
That's a marketing meeting.
That is a marketing meeting.
Then it's driven down to the engineers.
It comes down to NavComs or oven mitts.
Yeah. Well, I will say, yesterday there was an innovation panel that I was pleased to be part of, and one of the questions from the audience is to the panel was, you know, how do you drive innovation? How do you manage that process? And we all kind of looked at each other on the stage, because an element of, well, actually, we come to Oshkosh and we speak to pilots and they tell us what they want. And we go away and think about it and say, yeah, that's a cool idea. And I'll be honest, we say you could make money out of that. And
right.
So we'll go away and implement it. So keep the ideas coming, because this is part of the feeder at the bottom level to tell us what we should do next.
That's something that a lot of manufacturers, they miss, you know. You got to talk to the guy who's actually using this stuff.
Yep.
You know, what would you like to see? What would you like to see us get rid of?
Well, the other thing, aviation's different in that you're so constrained by regulations and approval processes and certifications that it's very hard to innovate quickly.
It's slower to innovate because of the regulatory requirements, I agree. So it's, you can't do a fast turn on a change or on a new idea. But at the same time, if the idea is a good one, it'll have legs and it'll still be a good idea in a year's time. So if it takes us that long to bring it to market, that's not a big issue.
Right. You just have to choose those ideas carefully.
Yeah, you don't want something that's a flash in the pan and it's just an idea of the moment. And an idea that only works for the next 90 days isn't something you're likely to see appear because we won't even get it out in time.
Yep. Again, at Trig Avionics, lots of neat, cool toys, guys. Get over there and see them.
Yep, lots of switches, blinking lights, and flashy things, and it looks really great, you know?
Yeah, it looks like a big video game.
They're over in Hangar C. Go over there and check them out. We've been talking to Andy Davis here from Trig Avionics and his silent partner in the corner. She's here holding...
Who wishes to remain nameless.
Yes, and she's holding a chair down for us because they float away.
Yep.
I'm Fast Eddie.
This is Digital Dave.
And we're navigating through all of this here at EAA Radio.